Hey everyone, welcome to the Curious Girl Diaries podcast. I'm Layla London, aka The Curious Girl. Now, just to let you know, this podcast is not suitable for work. It's also not suitable for anybody under 18. But the rest of you consenting adults, let's get ready to talk about my sex life, sex in general, and everything in between in explicit, raunchy, fun detail. All right, here we go.
Basically, you know, the curious girl or Layla London is just, you know, she's just the girl next door. For me, the biggest revelation has been the BDSM component, because originally, again, I just thought this was a bucket list item. I'm going to try this and do it and scratch it off the list. He called me out on it. He caught it like in the middle of a sex act. He's like, "What the fuck do you want?"
Hey guys, I have a special treat for you today. So I'm being interviewed by Sir Inc. And as many of you listeners know, in a previous podcast, I interviewed him. Well, now he's interviewing me. So give it a listen. Quite interesting. I want to thank him very much for his time and interviewing me and his thoughtful questions. And if you give this a listen, what I did was this is his finished podcast. I wrapped my intro and outro around his. But if you listen carefully, you may recognize the voice on his intro. Yes, that is yours truly, the curious girl. I'm his intro and outro girl. So I'm just adding a few more things to my list of talents, but anyway, give it a listen and hope you like it. As usual, you can always reach out to me. And please feel free to reach out to Sir Inc. too, because I know he puts in there where you can reach him. Hey everyone, welcome to Sir Inc.'s The Experience Podcast, where we talk about anything and everything kink. We only cater to adults 18 and above. So remember, this podcast is not safe for work. Or as we like to say, NSF.
You can always listen to us during your private time. Hello and welcome, kinky and kink curious folk out there. My name is Sir All, and today I have a special guest. Her name is Layla London. I've been following her on Tumblr and through her website. I've been following her journey. It's been very interesting. And before I say anything more, I'm going to let her speak for herself. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
I'm good. It's cold here in the East. Yeah. But this conversation is going to help warm me up.
Yeah, I hope so. Well, it's actually a nice 66 degrees today and on the West Coast. Not as probably warm as where you just came from on the West Coast, but it feels a little bit like spring.
Lovely. It did. It felt great. You know, it's always a pleasure to come to the West Coast during the winter time for me, to just get a little break in the action, you know, with the weather. And my God, like, I saw Chicago was something like a negative 50 or something with this Arctic wind. It sounds absolutely ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's ridiculous. But let's warm our audience up with this conversation. Let me ask you. Go ahead.
Before we start, I want to preface one thing for your listeners and my listeners.
Okay. That,
I don't know what you're going to ask me.
No, you do not.
I asked you not to tell me. And so let's just see. If I'm stumbling around, I want people to know.
Right.
Well, because I'm getting put on the hot seat.
You are now on the Sir's hot seat.
Ooh.
So
I don't like that.
Let's dive right into who is Layla London?
Who is Layla London? Well, Layla London is, that's obviously a fictitious name. Mm-hmm. I also go by, you know, out there in the commercial world, so to speak, the Curious Girl. I've got my website, thecuriousgirldiaries.com. And basically, you know, the Curious Girl or Layla London is just, you know, she's just the girl next door. who, like a lot of people, sometimes gets busy with life, puts their sexuality on hold, as I did for 3.5 years. I did not have sex. And then one day, I just literally woke up and said, what the fuck am I doing? I am wasting pretty.
Well, you wasn't doing fucking, right?
Pardon me?
I said, you wasn't fucking, right?
I wasn't doing, I was wasting it. Everything was being wasted. So, yeah, I wasn't, you know, I wasn't out there doing anything, no sex at all. No, I mean, I hadn't had no touching, no physical contact, except for, you know, with myself. And I just finally just said, this is bullshit. Why am I doing this? And so I decided to change that. And I decided that I was going to make a sex bucket list. And that as in addition to doing that, you know, I got this great idea, like, well, gee, wouldn't this be fun if I documented this in podcast form and blog form anonymously?
Right.
So hence the, you know, hence the name Layla London.
Lovely, lovely, lovely. Now, so you went from just 3 years, nothing. So were you not dating at that time? How do you go from just nothing to, okay, I'm going to make this hit list and then just, you know, just dive right in. What, did it take you some time to date again? You know, talk about that.
Well, you know, it actually, no, it really didn't. So as far as taking the time, all it did was, well, first, let me start with the first part of that question. And that's how did that come to be? How did that happen? I'm a type A, just like a serious as a heart attack when it comes to business. And I have been self-employed for, let me think about this, about, 15 years now. And so I've just always been, you know, loved what I do and serious about it. And, you know, when you're running your own business, it takes a lot of work, but it was something that I loved. And so it didn't really seem like, you know, I was, you know, foregoing other things, but slowly over time, you know, you kind of get in a rut. And I just, you know, again, I think like what I've found from doing the Curious Girl Diaries is a lot of people get stuck in this rut, you know, where they sort of put sex, their sexuality, that stuff on the back burner. And, you know, I just was kind of like looking at myself going, okay, you know, you work out, you're attractive. What are you, like I said, you're wasting the pretty, what are you doing? Why are you not? I mean, my light wasn't even on. Like I call it my lights not wasn't on, you know, just where I just wasn't even, I would go from A to B, right? With my eyes down, I'm always looking at my phone. I'm not even scanning the room. Who's in here? I wouldn't even smile. You know, I just, and so, so I just one day, literally, I'm not kidding. I mean, I just like had a revelation. I woke up and I said, this is fucking bullshit. You can't do this to yourself anymore. And so I just said that enough's enough. And I just basically, it's literally as easy as just changing your mind about it and saying, my light's on, I'm out there, and I'm a good flirt, you know? So I just moved it forward that way.
That's nice. That's nice. And, I think one of the things you spoke to right there was how you can get so consumed with work and just being in that, being in your phone, how it disengages you from just human interaction as well. Even if you're in a room full of people, it's like you're not even really there. It's like,
totally.
And I know we've all probably, once you get to a certain age, we've all experienced that. And I know that, we at least know a time before cell phones and all that where the world was just more engaging one-on-one, you know. But
yes.
So let me ask you, from your list, can you just give me your, let's say, top three from your list? And then after that, I would like to ask you, like, what have you learned? And what are the things from your list that you've learned the most from?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay, so
Right. So you going from totally disengaging yourself. Now you're getting 100% reengaged, reigniting your flirtatious side. So how to, you know, and now you have this list, which is very, very interesting, right? To hear that you have a list and it's like, what was on your list first? But all right, go ahead. I'm going to let you talk.
So on my list first, it was kind of like group sex. I wanted to try, BDSM. Gosh, what else? I've always wanted to do threesomes. I still haven't done that. That's still kind of carrying over into this third year. And then, shoot. See, I'm drawing a blank here. I should get online and look at my website. So let's see. There was that and. Oh, wait, I have to. What else do I want to do? Was it?
Oh God. So which one did you enjoy the most? Let me ask you that.
Well, I would say so. For me, the biggest revelation has been the BDSM component, because originally, again, I just thought this was a bucket list item. I'm going to try this and do it and scratch it off the list. Mm-hmm. And some of the things I learned is like, I went to a sex party. You know what? It wasn't really that exciting. Everybody, you know, it looks really, you know, like, what was that movie with Nicole Kidman and
Eyes Wide Shut.
Where it looks really sexual and sexy and mysterious. Mm-hmm. The truth is you go to these sex parties and you're in mid America, you know, you're on the middle of the block at someone's house and, you know, where there's a bunch of, you know, station wagons and everyone's driving carpool. It wasn't sexy. I mean, and the people there were, you know, I mean, I just didn't see anybody that I wanted. I was there with a guy and, but I didn't see anybody there that I was like, that I'd want to engage with. So anyway, that was interesting, but I did kind of learn, you know, for me, okay, that's one of the things that, you know, if I revisit it or not, I'm kind of neutral on it. It didn't knock my socks off as far as being exciting, but what has been the big revelation, like I was saying, is the BDSM component. I just thought I'm going to try it, scratch it off the list like all this other stuff, and then kind of go back to my vanilla life. And, but once that door got thrown open, I mean, you know, for me, there's just no going back. I mean, it's such a contrast to, you know, vanilla versus, you know, you throw a little bit of the BDSM, you know, get a little kinky, and it changes things. And, so it also taught me as well that, you know, which I never knew, I have a sensitive side. And, you know, if you would have said that to me at the start of this, I'd have been like, fuck you. Yeah, you don't know who the hell you're talking to, buddy, because I'm going to tell you, you know, that. And, oh my God, I mean, it just sends me. I mean, what it does for me, it's hard to even explain.
That's funny. So let me,
it affects your brain. It affects your brain.
So let me ask you this. So prior to, I've had to erase some of the questions that I had for you. I got new ones now. Okay. So.
Are you making these up on the fly?
I think I have to right now after you've given me this part.
That's fine. It's your interview.
So how do you go from, so some of your encounters, you were able to keep yourself, let's say, kind of detached emotionally, or, you know, like being clingy to a guy that you might have a physical, you know, a physical situation with, blah, blah, blah. So how do you go from separating that and then you get into the domination part, and it sounds like it's kind of resonated with you a little deeper than something else. And so how did that hit you, you know, going from nothing to, okay, I'm out here doing some different things, and then it's like, whoa, I get this piece right here. Like, those transitions are very, that's a hell of a transition.
Yes. Well, so I know this whole thing, that whole thing is the tricky part, because when you're seeing more than one person and you see these people regularly and you start to form relationships, uh-huh. you know, because really, I mean, the BDSM stuff, it's not really something you just meet a stranger, you know, and say, okay, I want you to tie me up and beat me or spank uh-huh. me or what, you know, I mean, that's a bad idea, you know, uh-huh. you need to know somebody and trust them. So, you know, while I'm out there doing all this, scratching things off my bucket list and seeing more than one person at the same time, you know, yeah, I mean, absolutely, relationships form, and you have to, you know, you kind of have to balance that, but at the same time, you have to. For me, for about the first year and a half, I was really good at keeping everybody at a distance, uh-huh. and then I just got to the point where I was just like, you know, this is exhausting. I have feelings for, you know, if I didn't like somebody, I wouldn't be able to keep seeing them, keep being sexual with them.
Right.
So obviously, you know, it goes deeper than just like a mm-hmm. casual hookup. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, as things started to evolve, you know, finally I was just like, okay, you know, I mean, you have feelings for more than one person, and you know, just roll with it. You know, don't try to suppress it. Just say fuck it and see what happens. You know? let it go. And but that seems, and that obviously helps with the BDSM stuff, because you know, you have to, it's intense, you know.
Definitely.
It's, as you know, it's yes. intense. And if you really, I think if you really, really want to get the most out of it, it's so much better if you like some, I mean, you know, if you have some feelings for somebody rather than just
absolutely.
Super, super casual.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
And also,
did I answer that?
You answered that, but I have one more thing for you though, because I know you didn't
sure.
really talk about this. So you have an A-type personality. The,
yes.
The combination of getting involved with a dominant, you have to surrender control.
Yes.
How good, or how scary is that for you? How scary was it, if it was scary at all, or how much of a relief was it for you?
Well, at first, it was a problem.
Of course. it always is. Of course.
No, at first it was a problem, and you know, and he called me out on it. He caught it like mid. You know, in the middle of a sex act, he's like, what the fuck do you want?
Right.
And I was like, you know, I mean, and I did a podcast about that. I mean,
uh-huh.
you know, I didn't even I just didn't realize I was doing it.
Right.
You know, I didn't realize, you know, that I was sort of drifting into just old habits. And because this was something new
uh-huh.
and I'm drifting into just old routine habits, you know,
right.
me in a relationship and, you know, interacting with somebody, and, you know, and he was kind of like, you know, what is it you want me to do? Cause I thought you were here for X, Y, and Z, and you know, you're doing A, B, C.
Right.
So, and it caught me off guard. I mean, I literally, when we were having that conversation, I just wanted to get the fuck out of there. I wanted to leave.
Right.
Made me super uncomfortable.
Right.
And I could feel like, I mean, like my throat, like, you know, like I felt claustrophobic. You
oh,
know? Like
Lord.
Being put on the spot, being called out like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't rude about it. He just was very direct, you know.
Right.
And so I was kind of like, oh, shit. Okay. Well, let me think about this. And so I really, you know, it was good that he did that, because I had to sit and think about, okay, you're just like, you are not willing to let your guard down and let somebody else lead you and be what I call like the V word, my least favorite word, be vulnerable, you know,
right.
just like let it go, girl, just let it go.
Right.
And so, you know, after that, I kind of was like, okay, you know, I'm going to follow your lead, you know, I'm going to,
uh-huh.
I'm gonna be a good girl.
you was being a good girl.
I decided I was gonna turn my good girl light on.
Wow, the lion gets tamed. Look at this.
Well, I did it was toe dipping. I did it slowly. Uh-huh. You know, it wasn't. It was a long process, and it's still ongoing. I mean, you know what I mean. It's not something just came natural, but it's just as it's gone on, it's gotten more and more progressive and
intense.
You know, I'm more pardon me.
And intense.
And into sure. Oh yes.
I'm sure.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I'm sure.
And so I just I finally kind of just said, all right, I'm gonna do it. Oh, that's funny. I'm just getting a text from him right now.
Hey, look at that. We summoned him to the party. Look at that.
He's getting my vibe.
There you go. He knows you're talking about him. See, that's what good domination is. That good dominance has that connection. You see that?
That is hilarious. And it's a picture. I'll tell you what it is. It's a picture of a girl being face fucked.
Lovely, lovely.
Which is like one of my favorites to do with him.
Excellent. Send a message. This is what's on my mind right now. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. So tell me, so being as though we, you know, it's ironic that he takes us down this way. I had this question. So what is the most, let's say, uncompromising position that you were put in this DNS dynamic, and what did you get from it? And when I say compromising, maybe like, you know, did he tie you up? You know, that type of stuff.
So he likes to tie me up. He's really good with that stuff. He can look at something and then just do it, you know. Mm-hmm. So he's real good with the ropes, and I think so, you know, the for me, like being tied up, and then that's compromising. But I think the biggest thing that stands out for me the most, because I am still kind of like, do I like this or do I not like this, is the denial, the orgasm denial. So, you know, initially with a lot of our interactions, it was, you know, just, I mean, he's just making me come a lot and forcing them on me. And, you know, I mean, just like, you know, and just even like, it's so strange. Like the first time he said, you know, the first time I heard him say, come for me. And I was just like, it did something to my brain. Like, I was like, whoa. I mean, all of a sudden I was, you know, I just reacted to it, and I did, you know, and I was like, holy shit, you know, what is this mind Miyagi shit? And so, then you kind of get into that pattern. Well, then he starts kind of transitioning me into, you know, taking that away and teasing me, you know, and getting me and edging me, which, you know, it's weird. I have this love-hate thing with it. It's like, I like it, but sometimes it just irritates the hell out of me, you know, because I want what I want when I want it. And I'm used to getting a lot of orgasms when we're together. And now all of a sudden I'm like, what?
Right.
He had me to the point where I was literally almost ready to cry.
That's good. That's good. I'm you like, should let yourself well, go.
What are you fucking doing to me right now? Like, because I wanted to come so bad, and he kept saying no, and I'm wrestling it with, you know, it within my mind. I'm going, you know, there's this, okay, just do what he's asking because he's asking. And then that's one side of me. And then there's this other side that's like, fuck this. I'm just going to fucking come because I want to, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, the brat showed
that's
up.
That's a struggle right now. That's the new kind of like, struggle. But the orgasm that I will say this, the orgasm that I, you know, I will finally have, I'm literally like collapsed and shaking. Like, it's so strong. So once I've been denied that long. So it's very intense. But I feel it makes you just feel so, when you can't and you want to, and you're struggling with knowing that you can, but you're going to let him tell you not to. Mm-hmm. There's this, it's just like, it just feels like, it's upsetting. I mean, like I said, that's why it brings out this, like, I just wanted to, like, literally, like, almost wanted to cry because I was so desperate and needy and vulnerable to come, to get what I wanted.
Right.
And I'm used to getting what I wanted, and not getting what I wanted was shocking.
Right.
It was even more shocking that I was, like, that I was going along with it. I'm like, mm-hmm. who the fuck? Mm-hmm. Who are you? Who are you becoming?
Right. You like playing to his beat. You like dancing to his beat.
Well, I'm getting to that point. Yeah. I mean, I still get uppity from time to time.
Of course, you have to resist. That's part of it.
Yeah, but yes. So I think that was probably the most, you know, that and being tied up when you can't, you know, bend your body the way you want, mm-hmm. and you can't sort of, you know, fuck. Like, when you're having sex with somebody, you're sort of fucking them back. They're fucking you, you're fucking them.
Right. And you can't reciprocate the way you would like.
I couldn't reciprocate.
Right.
I just, yeah.
And that's great.
Yeah. So that's, but it's all, you know, it's all very hot and sexy.
Intense.
God, intense. It's so intense.
Yes. And, you know, it's funny because it is different for women today, and it's different for men as well, because when you're in control like that, the part of it that people can't see through pictures is this connection, right? And mm-hmm. not only is this connection, but the man is actually serving in this moment. He's acting as an initiator, but also as a caretaker as well. And so it's like, it's unusual for women to be catered to, you know, because it's always like this whole thing of, like, women to submissive, serve their dominance and all that. But there are moments that dominance serve as well. And so, you know, this gives a dominant a chance to let his imagination come out, really do some things, very, you know, do some things and really just focus on her, which I think is what a lot of women would prefer, even if it happens in increments and it doesn't happen night in and night out. Just the fact that there's a whole night set aside strictly focused on your pleasure and your release, that's different. And well, I mean, you can't do that all the time sometimes, but, you know, but that's very different. And it's a very and it's a situation that a man, you know, thinks his way through. You know, he plans for certain things, and he, you know, and what energy are you giving him, right? So you give him the brat, then he's going to come in feeling like, okay, well, this is what the brat going to get. It might be a little, you know, a little bit more punishment going on, you know, opposed mm-hmm. to, oh, you've been a good girl, well, then the good girl will get this kind of session. But you've been you've been a bad girl, and you've been a brat. Oh, you've been a brat. Oh, the brat's out. Oh, okay. Let me show you what the brass is.
Then I get my ass beat.
Yeah. See, that can happen.
Which I like. I mean, I like, you know, it sounds, I mean, I love the biting, the marks, the, you know, the spankings, the, you know, the getting the belt. Mm-hmm. And it's funny that, you know, for me, like you had touched on earlier, saying, you know, people have this idea of the whole, you know, dominant submissive, where it's like, oh, the submissive is just serving. Mm-hmm. You know, I've always felt it was the other way around. I have always felt like look at all this attention is on me. Mm-hmm. And it's focused, thought out attention. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can just get with somebody and screw. But this is different because it's about something different. And this person is, you know, giving you, doing all these things to you and your body. And I love it.
That's nice. That's nice. I'm glad. I'm glad. And I'm so looking forward to hearing more of, you know, this with you and you and Mr. Dominant here. I can't wait to hear more. This just makes it just tickles my fancy when I hear people in these nice situations and it's, you know, and it's struggling in them. And not struggling in a bad way, you know, just struggling, you know, relationships, connections are like that. You know, we're waging our push against whatever, you know, whatever conformity that we all have to do. We kind of push against it. And it's wonderful to see, you know, having a connection with someone that makes you want to hang in there. Because I know I've had situations where I'm like, I don't like her that much. You know, I'm not going to really try to pursue anything with this girl. We having sex, but it's not really nothing personal for me.
Right.
You know, yeah. And as you going through the motions, you're like, yeah. But when you have it for somebody, it just makes all the struggle and the journey just so worth it. Especially as a dominant, to, you know, have to have a A-type woman have to, you know, get on my page and try to settle her into this rhythm that we're gonna have on a regular basis. It doesn't happen easy. You're gonna get a whole lot of resistance. So you just have to be prepared. But that brings out a different personality in the dominant as well. So, you know, one submissive might bring out a different aspect of your domination, whereas though another one, like a brat, would just make you have to be a whole different kind of way. But it's really great.
Sure.
It's really great, though. It's really great. But enough about all that. So let me ask you, what is next for you? Have you thought about that? Or are you just taking things day to day? Like, what is next for you, the curious girl, and her journey?
Well, so what I really want, you know, this year is just to kind of hopefully finally get my fucking three ways going.
Goal for 2019, we're looking for an extra.
Yes, exactly. And I would love to do my, you know, my rape fantasy, which, you know, I know people cringe when I say that, you know, but, I would love to do that. And just, that's kind of, those are kind of the remaining items on my bucket list. You know, if I can scratch those off and have those experiences, I will be very happy. And then, you know, just as far as everything else, the curious girl, you know, I'm this year, I'm really more interested in just kind of like we're doing now. It's just doing more interviews, talking to people that I find interesting and fascinating that are, you know, not mainstream vanilla, you know, they're doing a different thing. I would love to talk to a woman that's, you know, a dom.
Yes.
And because in my travels, you know, my curious girl travels, one of the guys that I see is submissive.
Really?
Yes. And at the very beginning, see, I can put that hat on, and but I don't know that I, you know, do it very well, but I, you know, I can easily do what he needs. And when, that's why this whole, what I call my sexual road trip has been so interesting, because when I first realized, you know, when he first started telling me that he's submissive and wants to be submissive to a woman, this is a big, like, 6'5", 215, you know,
big guy,
handsome guy, and you would not, I mean, you know, he looks like he could rip you limb from limb, and, you know, he's submissive, and at first, when he first told me, I was just like, whoa, I don't know about that, and then the more, you know, This was in the very beginning. He's one of the first guys I met. And when, you know, when I started to kind of like learn about it and uncover it, there was, I thought, okay, you know what? That's hot.
Right.
That's sexy. Yeah. Okay. You know, like, let's do
this. So
it's fun. It's fun.
Right. So having him as a submissive for you allows you to really act out your A-type personality.
Correct.
Right? And so you get the feed. So you could kind of gravitate into the role of a switch. A switch is someone who, can be submissive and can also be a dom. I mean, and I guess, for a woman, the things that I see and some of the ones that I followed, it seems like they have a lot of fun, but some of them, they don't really have physical relationships with their slaves, though. So, I just know that some of them are just serious on a... some of them, now, I do know one, and I can actually hook you up with her, too, through social media. But she has one or two boys, that's what she calls them, and she has an attachment for one of them, I do believe, but she gets to have her fun, and she does all that kind of aggressive stuff, and they love it, and, she's, and we have conversations like dominant to dominant, we just have the same kind of thought process when it comes to relationships, and so do we. We have certain grounds that we understand one another on, and that's your A-type personality is just something that matches up with what dominants do, and how you have to be sometimes. Like you were saying, you were just very anal about your day. It can be a very dry personality, it's not very inviting all the time. It takes you to be able to go into a dry space for me,
Yeah. I mean, definitely I have a very, just very direct. Right. I've always in business and stuff. I mean, just direct. Like for me, I just don't think that, adults in, business wise, right? I don't think adults need to be coddled. So I won't, right. I'm just like, this is how it is. We're all adults. Let's talk about it. Let's just get down to the facts and make shit happen. And it's funny because, the guy that I do the dominant submissive stuff with, he's like, you're very harsh. And I'm like, I know. Yes, I am. He's like, I know. I'll say something. I'm like, I know that sounds harsh. And he's like, well, you're a very harsh woman. Yes, right. I am. That's true. the guy that's submissive, it's just interesting because again, having those experiences, which is from one end, you got one end and then here you got the other. Mm-hmm. Again, that really helped me figure out, as a general rule, living my life, I don't want to be the dominant one.
Okay.
As a woman, uh-huh. I know that,
okay.
Going to the opposite ends of the spectrum has really helped me sort that out.
Good.
I've always liked... a man to be a man, and uh-huh. But this really helped me get clear on it. And
nice.
With the guy that's submissive, I can't say enough about him. I just love him. He is a sweetheart, and I consider him a great friend.
Good.
But I couldn't live that. I couldn't. I know that I could not live that because. It doesn't, feel right for me to be always in control. I want to take that hat off. I really want to just not have to, make all the, do the decision making out,
right.
In the outside world when I'm doing business. Yes. But when I come home, I want to be a woman.
Right. And I think that's a great thing. I think it's great that women such as yourself and the other women that I know, really enjoy the feminine energy and want to be feminine. And and a lot of that is just not having to be the boss, not having to always control everything. I mean, control is just a very hard thing to do, to be the person that has to be in control of everything on an everyday basis. That is...
exhausting.
It's exhausting as hell, and that's why I should be on the shoulders of men. Yeah, certain things you shouldn't have to think about. That should be on the shoulder of men.
Yes. You know? But it also, I will say this: knowing what it feels like to carry all that, to shoulder all that myself, and to be able to put that on, you know, have somebody else take some of that off me.
Right.
It gives me a lot of respect for, because I'm aware of it. I'm aware of the tremendous burden, you know, I mean, not burden, maybe it's not the right word, but just the term, I just, I know what that weight feels like.
Yeah, I think it can be a burden. It can be looked at as a burden, and not so much as a burden, it's just a responsibility. It's a great responsibility, you know, as a man that feels as though I want to have a woman, and, you know, maybe a family situation, and, you know, just someone who I care about. You know, I want to make sure that I can try to protect them, and that's a mental thing and a physical thing and a spiritual thing, you know, and so it gets a little, you know, that's a whole another level of just constant thought process. And, you know, I've already talked to you about why women need protection.
To be protected from ourselves.
Y'all need to be protected from yourselves. That's right. And that's where strong, dominant personalities step in and help put some order to chaos. Beautiful chaos. But we all got some stuff, but absolutely beautiful chaos. Love women. Gotta love women to stay engaged, really. If not,
that's right.
I see how a lot of guys just check out to stop caring. But you need that balance. You do. You need that balance. Yeah. We need other stuff to do. or we'll destroy ourselves. You know, we'll get in destructive behavior, drinking too much, doing some craziness. You know, we both need each other to balance each other out. Yeah. It really is. Yeah, we need somewhere to put all that Martian energy.
You'll get you caveman.
Yeah. I mean, you
really
know. Yeah.
we're gonna soften that caveman a little bit.
Yeah, shave him down. You know, I believe in that. Shave him down, and let's take him out the cave and shave him down. Lord have mercy. But look, before I want to say thank you for, you know, giving me your time to do this interview. It is such a pleasure. Such a pleasure having you, and just to tell you how much you know, just coming across your journey, how it's inspired me to do what I'm doing right now, which is this podcast. So you're a total inspiration. You have absolutely helped me get from just talking about it to doing it. So I appreciate you so much. I just want you to know that. And
thank you.
You're welcome. And I just would like to let you have your closing, you know, let you close the show out. Just letting them know, you know, again, who you are and maybe where they can find you, and maybe anything else you would like them, my audience, to know.
I have a website, and that's thecuriousgirldiaries.com, and that has all my podcasts and then my blog. And then I'm also on Tumblr, which is, I guess it's curiousgirldiaries.com/tumblr.com, something like that. Anyway, just get on Tumblr and just put in The Curious Girl. Or actually, you know, you can link to my social medias from my website, from thecuriousgirldiaries.com. And where else? Kingspace.com. I'm on Kingspace.com. You know that. Yeah, let's plug Kingspace. Mm-hmm. And then less visited is I just am starting on Facebook. And you can type in The Curious Girl, but I'm just kind of getting that going. So I do have a couple things coming that I'm hoping to get on board quickly, is an app so that I can start doing live broadcasts, which I think will be fun. And then listeners can interact with me while the show is going on and ask questions. So that'll be fun. And let's see what else is coming on the horizon. I guess pretty much the app and go to the website and you can find scroll to the bottom there. You'll see the podcast. It's on iTunes. It's various places. I'm almost losing track. Stitcher, it's on Stitcher, iTunes, and a few other big places where you put your podcast. I need to kind of get all that organized. But basically, I mean, most people can go to iTunes. It's just fine. Just type in the Curious Girl Diaries, and there I am. So, and then just the website's kind of like the main hub, though. You can message me there and reach out to me that way.
Yes, and listen to those podcasts that she has because they are hilarious.
That's right.
They are really good. How many are there?
There's 70 plus.
Whoa.
Episodes now.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. They heard it.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
That was quite an experience, wasn't it? Tune in again for a fresh release of Sir Inc's The Experience Podcast.
I hope y'all enjoyed today's chat. We'd love to hear your experiences and your feedback. Do email us at sirinq@sirinq.com. You can also follow us on SirINQ on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Kinkspace.
Thanks so much for listening. And if you like what you hear, refer me to a friend. And make sure you're following me on social media. Also, go to the website, thecuriousgirldiaries.com, and join my subscribers-only list for access to exclusive content. And as usual, questions or comments, you can always email me at curiousgirl@thecuriousgirldiaries.com.